I appreciate it. Good singing. I think it's very important that the kids learn to sing in church. I think that's important. Why? Because it becomes, whenever you can teach a child to sing, it puts a song in their heart. And in their life, as they grow up, they need that song in the heart. Especially when they're a teenager. Amen. Every teenager needs a song in their heart. And a spanking on the rear end. Amen. The two go really good together. Amen. I know they don't think so. I didn't think so when I was a teenager. Did you? No. No. But anyway, God is good. Good singing. Take your Bible tonight, please, and go with me to 1 Samuel and chapter number 23 in your Bibles tonight. Book of 1 Samuel and chapter number 23. There's a challenge tonight in this passage of Scripture that I want to give to you, and it's in regards to the story of David and Saul. And in the story that we're going to read tonight, we find this great truth and this great principle that I want to give you tonight, and trust that the Lord will bless it tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 24, and let's begin here at verse number 1. Notice what the Bible says here, chapter 24, verse 1. It came to pass, when Saul was returned from following the Philistines, that it was told him, saying, "Behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi." Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel, went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. And he came to the sheepcotes by the way, where was a cave. And Saul went in to cover his feet, and David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. And the men of David said unto him, "Behold, the day which the Lord said unto us, behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it seemed good unto thee." Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord." So David stayed his servants with these words and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way. And David also arose afterward and went out of the cave and cried, "Saul," saying, "My Lord, the king." And when David looked behind, when Saul looked behind him, and David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed himself. And David said to Saul, "Wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying, behold, David seeketh thine hurt?" Verse 10. "Therefore, or behold, this day thine eyes have seen how that the Lord hath delivered thee today into mine hand in the cave. And some bade me kill thee, but mine eye spared thee. And I said, I will not put forth mine hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father, see the skirt of thy robe in my hand, for in that I cut off the skirt of the robe and killed thee not. Know thou and see that there is neither evil nor transgression in my hand, and I have not sinned against thee, yet thou huntest my soul to take it." Now go over to verse 16. "And it came to pass, when David had made an end of speaking these words to Saul, that Saul said, Is this thy voice, my son David? And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. And he said to David, Thou art more righteous than I, for thou hast rewarded me good, whereas I have rewarded thee evil. And thou hast showed this day that thou hast dealt well with me, for as much as when the Lord had delivered me into thine hand, thou killest me not. For if a man find his enemy, will he let him go well away? Wherefore the Lord reward thee good, for this thou hast done unto me this day. And now, behold, I know well that thou shalt surely be king, and that the kingdoms of Israel shall be established in thine hand. Swear now, therefore, unto me by the Lord that thou wilt not cut off my seed after me, and that thou wilt not destroy my name out of thy father's house. And David sware unto Saul, and Saul went home. But David and his men gat them up unto the hold. Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you for your word tonight. And Lord, I pray tonight that you just help us instill our hearts and our minds, Lord, through the truth that is in the passage tonight. Lord, I just pray that, God, tonight we'd come to you with an open heart as empty vessels that need to be filled by you. And God, I pray tonight that thy word would have a power and an impact in our hearts and minds in these next few moments, Lord, as we hear thy word and put it in our hearts. And bless it, I pray, and use it, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the story is probably familiar to most of you, but let me recap what's going on in the passage. David had killed Goliath, and because of that, Saul wanted him in his household. He wouldn't let him go. After that, he was going to keep David because he saw that the hand of the Lord was upon him. As David then would go out and fight battles with the Philistines, he would conquer and destroy the Philistines. And can I add to you today, there's still some Philistines that could need to be killed in a certain country that we know of even today. Amen? Just thought I'd throw that out to you. But he said he wanted David, but something happened that changed Saul's heart toward David. And as David was coming back to battle, Saul heard the people saying, Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands. And something happened inside Saul's heart where he got jealous and he got really bitter and he got really angry. And he took a javelin, the Bible says, when David came in, he took a javelin and he tried to kill David. Instead of being grateful and thankful that David was on his side, and instead of having a greater heart toward David, because he was God's man and he was eliminating the Philistines, the very ones that Saul had trouble with. Instead of having gratitude, it sparked a bitterness and a jealousy towards Saul in his heart. Now, can I just stop before I get into this message and just say, be careful of things that can creep into your heart. And they can creep into your heart in unusual ways. Somebody can be praised, or somebody can be blessed, or somebody can get that job promotion and you didn't. And if you're not careful, hear me tonight, if you're not careful, something will well up inside of your heart, cause you a great bitterness, cause you a great defeat in your own life. And can I tell you, it's really you inflicting yourself with something that should not be there. And that's what happened to David. Or I'm sorry, that's what happened to Saul. And so Saul began this trek of chasing David down. David had escaped. And he was wandering all around Israel with his 300 men, and Saul took 3,000 men to go after David, and everywhere he went, he could not find David. And that was the protection of the Lord on David, because Samuel had already anointed him to be king of Israel. Now, can I say to you tonight that there was an opportunity that David had to take Saul's life. And the Bible tells us in the passage that we just read, David had an opportunity here to eliminate his enemy Saul from running after him. He'd already been anointed of God, and David could have been puffed up in pride and said, because I'm already anointed a king, it's okay to go ahead and eliminate Saul. And his men even said, you know, God delivered him into your hand today. But that was not David's heart. David's heart knew that God had anointed Saul and that he was not going to touch him. He wasn't going to put his hand on him. He was going to let God take care of that. And so Saul one day was sleeping, and the passage of Scripture, as he was pursuing Saul, or as he was pursuing David, he got to this place where Saul was there and in a cave, and David saw Saul. Saul was asleep. His soldiers were all asleep. They were all fast asleep. And David had taken a sword, and he had taken that sword. And by the way, the sword that he had was given to him by Abimelech the priest, and that sword was probably the sword that cut off Goliath's head. So one day, the sword that he had showed victory, and then the next day, the same sword showed compassion. By the way, this sword does the same thing for us. This is the sword of the Word of God. This book one day will be our judge. But it's the same book that shows us compassion today if we will hear God and listen to God's voice speaking to us. So Saul got compassion. Stay with me, don't lose me. Saul got a tender heart because David had cut off his skirt, a portion of his skirt, and he showed it to him. And that told Saul he could have wiped him out. He could have taken his life. There was nothing holding him back. Saul was fast asleep. And Saul got this idea in his head. And for a short time, there was compassion and grace in his heart. And we read about this. And we read in the passage how Saul, he acted repentant. He acted like he was sorrowful. But David did something very interesting in this verse. David, the Bible says, he did not go into Saul's house after that, according to verse 22. He went and he got unto the hold. He took his men and he went in a different place. Now, why was that? I believe it's because he did not trust Saul's repentance. I believe he knew that Saul really could go back and switch back to that evil, jealous heart at any time. Yep. Amazingly, this happened again. There was another opportunity in a later passage of Scripture in chapter number 26. It happens again. And David has another opportunity to take Saul's life. Look at chapter 6 and verse 21. Now, to make the story short, there's a spear there. His spear is stuck into the ground, and David can go in and he can take his own spear and kill Saul. And Saul realizes it. When he wakes up, he realizes it. And it picks up here, verse 21. Then said Saul, I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will do thee no more do thee harm, because my soul was precious in thine eyes this day. Behold, I have played the fool and have erred exceedingly. And David answered and said, behold the king's spear. Let one of the young men come over and fetch it. The Lord render to every man his righteousness and his faithfulness, for the Lord delivered thee into my hand today. But I would not stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed. And behold, as thy life was much set by this day in mine eyes, so let my life be much set in the eyes of the Lord, and let him deliver me out of all tribulation. And Saul said to David, blessed be thou, my son David. Thou shalt do both do great things, and also shalt still prevail. So David went on his way, and Saul returned to his palace. Now, after chapter 27, David does not go once again back into Saul's house. Again, the second time, he just does not trust Saul. And then the next, and in this passage, chapter 27, he goes into Achish. He joins really up with the Philistines. An amazing thing. But in the remainder of the passage of Scripture and the remainder of 1 Samuel, we see that Saul begins again to fight the Philistines. This is a long introduction. I appreciate you staying with me. But Saul again fights the Philistines. He battles them again until we come to the last chapter, and something happens dreadfully to Saul. And the Bible says that Saul fought against the Philistines, and the Philistines fought against him hard. And the archers took their arrows and let them fly. And Saul, an arrow hit Saul, and he was mortally wounded. And they took Saul's body, the Bible says, and they hung it on a wall in Beth Shan. They cut off Saul's head, and they took his head, they took Saul's head, and sent it all around to the Philistines, to their false gods, so that they could say that their false gods were the ones that gave them this victory. Now, what is it in the story that we can understand? I want you to really hone on three simple points that I want to give you out of the passage and the story. Now, first of all, I want to say to you tonight, number one, that we learn from the lesson is never forget the goodness of God in your life. Amen. Never, ever, ever forget how good God has been to you. Yes. Don't ever get to the place in your life where you turn against God or you allow some wrong spirit to enter into your heart where you cannot focus on God anymore. You can't see him. You know, Saul, and I'll show you here a little bit what he did, but he lost the fact that grace and mercy was showed greatly to him. Now, I don't know about you, but when I got saved, I received abundance of grace and mercy from God. Amen. There was an almighty hell that I deserved, that I earned. It was mine. I earned it. I deserved it. And every sin that ever I had done, I deserved hell. But God, in his goodness, pulled me out of that hell. He set my feet on the ground and put a song in my heart and a King James Bible in my hand. Amen. And set me on his way and set me forward. I'm going to tell you something. God's been good. God is good. Don't ever forget the goodness of God in your life. We come into these things in life where somehow we get a little pity party. And we say, God, you're not as good to me as you are to somebody else. You better be careful of that spirit. Yes. Don't let that spirit encompass your heart. Kick that spirit out diligently. Amen. Do not allow that spirit to take a root, a hold in your life. Because when it attaches to your heart like a barnacle on a ship, and when it grabs a hold of your heart, it'll twist you, it'll make you something that God did not ever intended you to be. And it's because we forgot that we were shown grace and mercy and the kindness of God. Don't forget it. Don't forget the goodness of God. In your trials, it's easy to forget that God is still good. In the problems that you face and in the simple complexities of life and stress and things low down on us, it's easy to say, God, you're not good. Yeah. But let me tell you something. If your life every day turned out to be a sorrowful, awful, evil day till the day you died, but when you died, you still went to heaven and enjoyed the glories of heaven, you escaped the pit of hell, and you had got to enjoy the beauty and the splendor of heaven forever and ever. Can I tell you what? Don't ever forget that God has been good to you. Amen. God's been good. God's good. Hey, I want to tell you something. You're going to face hardships. You're going to face financial problems. This old monster of jealousy, of anger, of even bitterness can crop up in our old depraved hearts. And if we're not spiritually aware, that will take root in our heart and we will lose an understanding that God, in His grace and His mercy, spared us from His wrath and His anger. Saul, who cut off your robe, who cut that portion of your robe off as David's standing there and as David's holding that portion of his robe in his hand, he forgot that God was good to him. Christian, let me tell you something. God is good even in your problems. God is good when you can't see Him. God is good when the car breaks down, the kids get sick, and the roof starts leaking all at the same time. Don't ever forget it. Don't ever forget. God is still good. Now I want to show you the second thing that happened to Saul because he forgot the goodness of God. Go, if you would, please, to chapter number 28. Chapter number 28. Now this is a culmination of Saul's heart, chapter 28. And this really brings out what's going on in Saul's heart. Notice chapter 28, verse 3. It says, "Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented him and buried him in Ramah, even his own city. And Saul had put away all that had familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land." You know why he did that? Because he had Samuel to go to. He would go to the priest. He would ask him, you know, he believed that Samuel knew God, and he wanted to hear what Samuel had to say. But now Samuel dies. And what does Saul do? Because this heart had ingrained in him, and because this jealousy, this bitterness had gotten a hold of him, notice it says here in verse 4, "The Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shunem, and Saul gathered all Israel together, and they pitched in Gilboa." So it looks like a battle is going to ensue, and here's a man that has allowed this false repentance, this ugly monster to live in his heart. And what's happened? Verse 5, "And when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets." Now what happened? God quit talking to him. God was silent in his life. Can I tell you what? Don't allow unforgiveness to give in your heart, because it may be that God will quit talking to you. You know, the scripture even tells us if we don't forgive our brother their trespasses, neither will the Lord forgive us our trespasses. And we have to be careful, because forgiveness is not just about our relationship with others. Forgiveness is about our relationship with God.
That's right.
It's about saying, "God, I want to be right with you, and because of that, I have to be right with my fellow man."
Yep.
But here's what Saul did. He foolishly allowed this evil to touch his heart, and what happened? God quit talking to him. God quit speaking to him. God quit showing him what he needed him to do, what he wanted him to do. And then notice the third step of what happened here. It says here in verse 7, "Then said Saul unto his servants, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servants said to him, behold, there is a woman that hath a spirit at Endor." And I won't read the rest of the passage, but Saul goes in and he talks to this, and she's a witch. She's a witch. It might have been Hillary Clinton. I don't know. I'm not sure. It could have been, but that might have been before her time. But anyhow, he goes to this witch, and this witch at Endor is there. He, because God will not speak to him, he goes to the world. He actually bypasses the world, goes straight to the devil. And he tries to get answers on what he should do from the devil himself. Now hear me. Hear me. Had he not allowed that bitterness and that unforgiving spirit and that hatred, jealousy toward David, he could have heard the voice of God. He could have heard God speak to him. And if he had heard God speak to him, he would have known, I don't need to go to the devil. I don't need to go answer him. If I've got God on my side, that's all I need. That's all I need. But instead, you see this progression in his life. And that is why it's so important that you and I don't forget the goodness of God. Because it's a progression that puts you and I down. We just keep going down. We just keep going down until God quits speaking to us and we have to resort to that old devil. Now you say, that doesn't happen to me. That won't happen to anybody. Let me tell you something. It happened to Saul. And God quit talking to him. He went to the world. And he actually went to this witch to find out what he's supposed to do in the battle of the Philistines. And what's he supposed to do? And the Bible gives us the conclusion of the whole matter in chapter 31. Go there real quickly with me. Chapter 31. And notice verse 1. It says, the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell down slain at Mount Gilboa. And the Philistines followed hard upon Saul and upon his sons. And the Philistines slew Jonathan, Abinadab, Melchishua, Saul's sons. And the battle went sore against Saul. And the archers hit him, and he was sore wounded of the archers. And then said Saul unto his armor bearer, draw thy sword, thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me. But his armor bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell upon it. His life ended in suicide. All because he lost sight that David had showed him grace, mercy, and kindness. He then couldn't hear God anymore, so he then went to the devil. The devil gave him the wrong advice, and it cost him his life, and he ended up committing suicide. Can I tell you something? I believe there are people like this in our world today. I believe there are people that have committed suicide because this progression has been in their life. Now, not all, I understand, but I believe there's people like that. Because the Bible tells us, when you forget to be thankful, and you know the Bible even tells us and reminds us in Romans 1, that when a person quits being thankful and grateful, something changes in their heart. Their heart goes to vile affections. Their heart turns. It changes. It gets twisted. It begins to go after evil and wrong things to suffice the void that's in there. But it never, ever does good in our life. So can I say to you tonight, the gist of the whole life of Saul could be summed up into this. Always live under the thankfulness and the goodness and the grace of God. Amen. I said, when you get up tomorrow morning will be Monday. I want to tell you something. Wake up and say, thank you, God, you've been so good to me. Thank you, God, you showed me grace and mercy. God, prevent this progression in my life. Help me, God. Help me to love you. Help me to turn my heart to you. Help me to walk with you. And guess what you'll find? You'll find he'll talk to you. He'll walk with you. You'll hear his voice. You'll understand how to proceed in life. You'll understand victory in battle. You will understand what God wants you to do. And it's amazing because it all starts with gratitude, thankfulness, and walking in the goodness and the mercy of God. That's all it is. I've seen a lot of Christians who should have done well and should have succeeded, but they missed the principle. And their life got messed up. They got out into the world, the devil, and from there, it's a twisted story of a person circling downhill and their life getting ruined. Determine tonight in your heart. Determine in your heart. You're going to walk in the goodness of God for the mercy that he has showed you. And live every day in that goodness and in that greatness. Oh, listen, let me tell you something. God has been so good and kind to all of us. God has poured out his mercy to you and I every day. We are the beneficiary. He paid the price. We got the victory. He bought us and paid for us. He redeemed us from sin and buried it in the deepest sea and remembers it no more. Thank God, glory to God. We ought to walk in that light every day. And Saul lost it. He lost his eye on it. He lost the fact that God had been gracious to him. I say to you tonight, don't let it happen. You know, we come up to this month of Thanksgiving, and I want to say, you know, I'm glad our forefathers had the wisdom to know to be thankful and show gratitude. I'm glad of that. But can I tell you what? It ought to be a principle in our heart that lives every day. Thankfulness, gratitude. Instead, Saul lost his gratitude. His heart got hard. He forgot. He forgot there was a God that was good to him and placed him there and allowed him to be the king of Israel. And that should have brought him to his knees every day in gratitude and thankfulness. But he wasn't careful to guard his heart. He wasn't careful to make sure that that one thing, though it seemed little, though he may not have even recognized it, yet it cost him his whole kingdom. It cost him his three sons, cost him their lives. And I think the passage is not just picturing physical destruction. It's talking about spiritual destruction. And how in our lives, that old devil would love to get in any corner, any root, and attach to your heart. And if you let him, the progression will begin. So I say to you tonight, let's not live like Saul. But conversely, did you notice David, what he did? Did you notice why God blessed him? After he went and cut Saul's skirt off, his heart was tender. And his heart was such that he felt bad in his heart that he had even done that. He didn't even take his life. He just cut off a portion of his skirt or the protection armor. And he even had a tenderness about that. There was something in his side of his heart that said, I feel bad that I did even that. Yep. Do you see the difference in the heart and where the heart can bring us? And God is trying to teach us, live every day and be grateful and thankful and walk in his mercy. Eliminate pride. Don't let pride in. Let graciousness come in. Let the peace and the goodness of God melt our hearts every day and teach us to be more like him and more like Jesus. It's a great principle in life to learn. And Christian, tonight, let me say this. Let's ask God to allow this principle to take hold in us, that we can be that one that God has for us. You know, I want to tell you something. Sometimes a home and a marriage will get like this too. Sometimes there will be a rift between two, a husband and a wife. And before long, you'll have a hard heart to each other. And before long, your tenderness will go away and you'll lose the fact that God was good to you. And you'll say, my wife does this. My husband does this. I want to tell you something. Remember the day that God gave you each other? Remember that time when God put you together? And I want to tell you something. If you want to keep a wonderful home and a wonderful marriage and a wonderful life, give up hard-heartedness to each other. Give up anger and let the goodness of God rule in your heart. And this is a principle that guides every avenue of life if we'll grab a hold of it and let God teach it to us. Let's let God teach the truth to us tonight. Amen? Let's bow our heads tonight. Let's close our eyes. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed tonight. And maybe you're here tonight and you say, Pastor, somewhere in my heart, I know I needed that message. I know there's a truth in there that I need. There's something there that I needed in my heart. If that's you tonight, would you lift your hand? I needed that. There's something I needed in that lesson tonight. I don't want to be like Saul. I want to walk in that goodness of God. I want to be the tender-hearted Christian, the Christian that sees and understands how good God's been to me. I want to walk in that. Maybe you're here tonight, and maybe there's something in your heart that shouldn't be there. And maybe it's a room or some place that you've allowed that old devil to just attach onto. Why don't you give that to God tonight? Why don't you give it to God? It only hurts you. Let's turn that around and say, God, help me to be walking in your kindness and your goodness. Help my heart to be tender toward you and others. And help me to have that in my heart, my mind. Would you say that tonight? I wonder also, do you know you're saved tonight? Is there one here tonight who say, Pastor, pray for me. I don't know if I'm saved. If I died tonight, I don't know I'm on my way to heaven. Would you pray for me? Is there one like that tonight? Pray for me. I'm not saved. I need to know it. I need to be saved. Is there one like that? We're going to have a word of prayer and then give the invitation tonight. As God spoke to your heart, you do what he wants you to do tonight. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness tonight. Thank you for the story of Saul and David, Lord, and help us to have that heart of David. And help us, Lord, tonight. And when Saul's heart creeps into our own, help us put that on the altar to bask in your goodness and your kindness and to walk in your light so we can hear your voice and follow you. Help us tonight, I pray. Help that one lost person to come and be saved tonight. The invitation, in Jesus' name. Let's stand together with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.